love running, or maybe you're thinking about starting to run, whether it's for exercise, recreation, or maybe you're just getting ready for your first 5 or 10K, join Sean, Jason, and Steven, three average guys who talk about the sport they love here on the Average Runner Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the Average Runner Podcast. My name is Sean.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Steven.
And we've got a lot of catching up to do, but before we get into the nitty-gritty of the show, let's find out what is going on, guys. Jay, what's up with you, man?
Oh, nothing much. I'm enjoying the fact that some certain races are behind me, and I can kind of get back to running for the fun of, running for the fun of it, you know, not with a gun to my head kind of a thing.
Yeah. it can definitely feel that way at times, that's for sure. I can sympathize with that. What about you, Steven?
Man, I'm just enjoying my time between training cycles and just chilling and running when I want to, how far I want to, at whatever pace I want to. I'm kind of calling it hippie running, you know, just being one with nature.
Sounds good to me.
Me too, man. I'm kind of getting back into that myself. I had a nice run this week, just yesterday, where it was just kind of relaxed, you know. It was a nice run, but anyways, it's been a few weeks. Anybody got anything new since the last time? Any websites? Any gear? Anything that you want to share?
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned a while ago, but I did buy a new running watch. I bought a Garmin Fenix 2. So I've had it, what, 2 months now, I think, two and a half months. And so far, I'm really liking it. And the great thing is they can be had new for under $200.
Really?
Yes. That's without the heart rate strap. If you want the heart rate strap, it's another $30 or $40. But if you have an old one from one of your older Garmins, you can use it.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes, because I had the 405, so I've got the old hard strap, which is fine for me. But yeah, 15 hours of battery life and full on super track mode where it, you know, pings the satellites every minute or so, or every second. Or you can put it in smart track and they claim 50 hours of battery life. Although I don't know how good that would be for running, because I think you're pinging every couple minutes or so. So it's more for through hiking. But yeah, it's one of those watches. If all you're doing is running or cycling, there might be better options. But if you also are into hiking, through hiking, skydiving, swimming, any of that stuff, it does it all. And I've been really happy with it.
Are you going to be doing any skydiving soon?
No time soon. My plane's in the shop. You know.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it on, I think maybe two episodes
ago. I ordered it or something, but...
Yeah, I know we wanted to talk about it. We just never got a chance to it at that point. But, well, that's good because your old watch was, you used to have to upload the files, right? Are you still doing it that way, or you just have it connect to your phone and then
the thing that's, I guess you could say, a downside of the watch is it has Bluetooth, it has the Ant Plus, you know, connectivity, but you can't have them both on at once. And it's not a software issue, it's a hardware issue. I don't really care because I'm not going to turn the Bluetooth on while I'm running. Drains the batteries. So yeah, when you get home, you can turn the Bluetooth on, pair it with your phone to upload to Garmin. But I don't know, 7 out of 10 times it works fine. But then 3 out of 10, you've got to repair it. And so yeah, after my run, I just slap it on the cable from my computer and it uploads. So it does work. It's kind of a smartwatch, kind of. If you have the Bluetooth on, it will tell you if somebody's calling and what number, if you have a text message or even a Facebook post, but you cannot respond. You can't see what the text is. So
I like the idea, at least, that you can see the phone call or something in case you get an emergency call, because I know for me, a lot of times I'll have my phone somewhere where it's really kind of a pain in the ass to get it out.
Yeah.
So this way I could at least see, like, okay, it's my wife or it's my mother.
Yeah.
So one of them I'll answer, the other one I'm not going to.
Yeah. But I mean, I usually, when I'm just running, I've got Bluetooth headphones. I'm playing my music on if I'm running around on the streets. It'll tell me if a call is coming through and who's calling. So for the price difference, I think it's $600 for the Fenix 3 compared to $200. Okay, so it doesn't have the touch screen and the color display. It does everything else.
Yeah, well, I think watches will be some topic later on in this show.
Yes, I have some questions about those watches.
Yeah, we'll get to those. What about you, Jay? You got some new gear today, didn't you?
New gear. I got my sneakers rolled in today. I got the Brooks Ghost 8. I've been wearing them around the house. They feel pretty damn good. I'm going to try them out, I think, in the next day or so.
What made you go with those? I mean, because you've been wearing the Ultra Pro Vision 2. So what made you go with the Brooks? Do you know what the drop is of those, the heel toe drop it is, or no? Because you're on the Ultras, a zero drop.
Yeah. I want to say there was two pairs of shoes I was looking at. One had like an 11 millimeter drop, and one had an 8. And I actually don't recall what the Ghosts are. I'd grab them right now, but they're too far away.
No, that's all right. I'm just curious what made you go with those? Just like good reviews or?
Good reviews. And then I've been wanting to go back to, I'll say a normal shoe, but.
Right.
I don't know. I've been wanting to switch out of the Ultras just to see if there really is any difference, you know, going back again. And my Ultras are still in good shape. I'm going to alternate for a little while just to get a different feel.
Hmm. I know from my experience, I've discussed that the Ultra, the Pro Vision itself was the wrong shoe for me. And I had, had a lot of issues. So I went back to, I guess you'd say like a normal, a more traditional, shoe stack or heel drop, but it didn't bother me one bit going the other way. I know going to the zero drop, that's where you have a lot of your calf tightness and stuff like that. So you'll probably be fine. And if you're going to go back and forth every couple of days or so, I don't think you're going to notice anything even going back and forth to the Ultras. You'll probably be fine, I would think.
Yeah, that's my goal anyways. And see, now the Ultras, the provisions are considered like a support shoe.
Stability shoe.
And these Brooks Ghost 8s, they are more of a neutral shoe.
All right.
So that's like a huge difference for me as well. Now that I know what, how they make sneakers and what they're aiming to do with stability versus support versus neutral, So, I mean, the neutral may not even work for me, but, I have flat feet, so that's an issue, but I think I'll be able to do it. I think it'll be fine.
Cool.
Now, I'd like to bring up, you did send some hillbilly in Missouri a set of Ultra Provisions, Sean.
I did.
And the first couple times I ran in them, I was kind of like, they're all right, but I got to say, the more I run in those, the more I'm loving them.
Good.
I said I've always kind of battled a little plantar fasciitis just a little bit. It's almost gone. I don't know if it's the shoes or a combination of the shoes and maybe some more strength training I'm doing, but I'm really digging the shoe, and it's kind of cemented a lesson for me. Cause even like the Hoka Bondis when I first bought them, I didn't like them at first. So if you don't really like a shoe at first, run in them a few times because you might change your mind.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I think it takes some time. I think the only shoe that I wore once that I knew right away I couldn't do, and that I sent those to a hillbilly as well, were a pair of the Hoka Clifton 2s that my buddy Glenn had given me.
Yeah.
I ran, I think I ran an 18 mile in them right away. Just threw them on and ran 18, and I didn't have, later on I was like, God, my feet are killing me. The arches, and they're just too darn narrow.
Yeah,
I knew right away.
They are narrow.
Yeah.
At least that hillbilly told me that, so.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. Glad you got some shoes. I didn't really get new gear. I guess it's kind of gear related, but I bought a package, a 7-pack trial of Tailwind. So it's seven individual packets to use for like a 20-ounce or 22-ounce bottle. Mainly because I wanted to try to get away from the gels, not because they give me any issues. Just my only complaint about gels is after you eat a gel, you have that sticky wrapper, and you don't want to be a scumbag like a couple people I saw at the marathon that just threw them on the ground like it was nothing. You want to carry them out, and they get a little make a mess. And I thought with the Ultra coming up and July, I thought, well, let me try the Tailwind. It's just that way, at least I can refill my bottle at an aid station, throw the wrapper out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I tried it for the first time yesterday, and I got to be honest, I'm not a big fan of it at all. The funny thing was I ran with Glenn, and I said to him, we were probably like not even a quarter of a mile down the path. And I looked at him, I go, when am I supposed to be taking this in? Like, he's like, you just kind of sip on it, you know, when you feel like you need some water or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And we both kind of agreed, like, we did a 13 miler and probably like 6 miles were like, man, it's just weird. Like, I don't feel like I know when to take it. Like with gels, I have my regimen of every 3 miles. I know, okay, 3 miles I take it in. This one, it seemed weird. I didn't like the taste of it either, to be quite honest. Yeah. I could have used it in like maybe a 48 ounce bottle.
You've got a sample of the Naked, don't you, where it has no flavor?
I do.
You have to let, I haven't tried that, so you have to let me know.
I haven't either. I use the, I think the, it's like a raspberry mm-hmm. blast or something like that. I know Glenn and Bill have both tried the Naked, and they did not care for that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I like the orange, and I like it pretty strong. But I had the same problem, too, at first. You know, used to taking a gel at a certain time and just learning how to constantly sip on it, you know.
Yeah.
That you're taking that 22 ounces every hour, you know, an hour or so, you're drinking a whole bottle of it.
Yeah, I mean, it figures out to be about the same as if you're taking a gel every 3 miles anyways on a long distance run. I mean, you're still getting the 200 calories an hour, but I felt like I had to force it.
Right.
I mean, I was well over an hour by the time I finished that bottle, and I made myself finish it. Mm. And luckily, I had my bladder for water because I like just water.
Yeah.
And I also had a couple gels, so I actually I took a gel at about probably around 6 miles maybe. Maybe 7 miles in, I took a gel because I just felt like I needed something other than this thick fluid. Well, not a big fan, but I have 6 more packets of it, so I'm gonna try it out. If anything, I'll always keep one in my hydration pack just for an emergency. If I'm out and I don't have enough gels or whatever, I can throw it in a bottle, fill it up at a, you know, water fountain or something.
You know, the big complaint I have with Tailwind, and you know, I use it all the time now, is they tell you, oh, it's not sticky at all. It's sticky. You know, if your bottle has a little leak, you know, like, well, you know, my vest, the Innovate, it kind of cocks the bottles outward a little bit. And sometimes one of my flask bottles just has a tiny little leak in it. So if I've got that one with me, my hands get sticky. I mean, they're not gel sticky, but you know, something's on your hand, you know?
Yeah. Your bottle's leak or?
I've got one that's just got a slight, I don't know, the top, and I keep meaning to order another one. They're only like $3. I just haven't gotten around to it.
So, well, that's the newest thing I have is the Tailwind. So not really a fan of it, but, I'll try it again. There's no way I can tell you this. There's no way I'm putting it in my bladder.
No, don't.
I need to have water. I can't do that. But anyways, that's it for the Tailwind. So
on to the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The good stuff.
That cool run you guys had with the spring breeze and no.
No, definitely not.
Not even close.
For the listening audience, they're giving me looks.
Yeah, Jason and I, as we've been talking about since January episode, I believe, we ran the 2016 Buffalo Marathon. Jason's first marathon, my third, and the weather sucked. It was absolutely horrendous. It was, I think, 86 degrees, I think it was, the high that day. I don't know what the humidity was in percentage, but I'd have to say it had to been around 90%, ooh, right, Jay?
Oh, at least, geez.
Yeah, it was definitely awful. I mean, and it was like the weekend sucked, and then now it's like 60 and cold, kind of windy. But yeah, it was not ideal day to run a marathon by any means. The start time was at 6:30, so it was a little bit cooler. I have to say, when Jason, I was waiting for Jason, he picked me up. at about, what, 5:15 or 5:30, I think he came to get me. And I was standing outside, and I was like, you know what? This really isn't too bad. It actually was not too bad temperature-wise. The humidity didn't seem too bad. But that didn't last very long.
No.
Well, I have a question for both of you, and it's been eating me since the marathon. I was watching both of you and probably five or six other people on the live tracking, and I don't know how accurate the split times were on the live track, but it's right around that 25 to 30K mark. Everyone's time took a dump. I mean, big time. And I was wondering, was there a hill there? Were you mugged? What? I mean, or was just the live tracking off?
Well, we obviously weren't watching the live tracking too much. I watched it a little bit at the end. I was watching Jason, but I mean, the 30K mark, that would have put us at, well, I got to do my conversion now, but what, about 14 miles, 15?
Yeah, I think somewhere in there, which 15
miles.
Well, you've been about 18. 15K is, what, 9.3?
Yeah. So. Okay.
So it was around that 18-mile mark, around there, 17 to 19 in there.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to jump all the way there? We can, but that was definitely there was some hill action, I think, there. What we would call, not a hillbilly like you would call a hill, but us flatlanders would call a hill at Delaware Park. There's definitely a incline there, hill there. It's like a long, gradual kind of hill.
Okay.
That just you dread. And okay. It definitely takes a hit on you. But I know by mile 18, I was starting to feel the effects of the weather. Well, is basically,
yeah,
what
happened. Yeah.
I think at that point we were in sun the whole time. There was no shade at that point, just where we were on the course. So that was kind of the culmination of everything.
Okay. I was just, because like I said, I had like eight people I was tracking, and just everyone just took a nosedive right there.
But. Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough day, man. I have to say, overall, and we'll talk a little bit more about the race itself, but overall, I don't think anybody that I knew, none of us hit our A goals at all.
Right.
Like you kind of had to, I know I personally was trying to not let the weather get to me ahead of time.
Right.
Like I just wasn't letting it mentally get to me. I was like, you know what? I run in the summer. I've done 18, 20 milers in the summer last August, and it doesn't bother me. And I had been dealing with some hamstring issues leading up to it. So my taper started a little earlier, a little more aggressive than I wanted it to. Like I really cut back. So I was more worried about the hamstring issue than the weather. I was like, screw it. You know, as long as my leg holds up, nothing's holding me back. At least mentally going into it, I wasn't going to get too worked up about it.
Oh, okay.
But
well, I didn't mean to jump that far ahead. I just wanted to ask that before I forgot, because it's been eating at me for the last week. What went on right at that part of the race? But I'm really interested to know, okay, I want to really focus on Jay here. What'd you think waking up in the morning, knowing you're going to run your first marathon?
Oh, you know, I was trying to not think about it as much as possible for the whole week leading up to it. And then, and I was doing very well. You know, when I would think about it, I thought to myself, wait, just think of it as your longest training run. That's how I tried to get through it, right?
Right.
Well, then the morning of, I'm thinking, oh my God, well, there's no turning back. I'm actually going to do this. I'm driving to pick up Sean. This is happening, you know, and it started to hit me then, you know.
So you're pretty pumped up, like at the start line, or?
Oh yeah, I was getting pumped at the start line. I was getting excited, and then I would try to talk myself down. Hang on a second, slow down, relax. You know, this is going to happen. So just don't go crazy here.
Let me jump in here real quick too. Yeah. I mean, Jason came over the night before. We had, you know, we had dinner. We went down to the convention center and to the expo, got our bibs and all that good stuff. And we were watching the weather, and I don't know if you asked me, like, well, what happens if there's like thunder and lightning or something like that? And I said, well, I've heard of races being called off. I mean, Steven, you had a chance of one prior to your 50 miler. Like, hey, you know, if there's thunder and lightning, they could call this off, which I didn't really think would happen. I mean, this is a humongous race, but there's always the possibility. I've heard of it before. So as we're driving that morning, we were talking about that, and I said, well, what if there was all this lightning? We found out that the race director called off the race, and Jason basically was like, I would be so ecstatic if they called off this race.
So, medals for everyone.
Yeah. He wanted his medal and have the race to get called right then and there. He's like, I'll be happy with that. So, but he was doing good. I mean, he picked me up. Just because of logistics with our families coming down, my wife was going to pick his wife up. So, you know, and I did kind of feel bad, but just because of the way it was working with the families, that's kind of how it had to be if we wanted to each family have one car down there. But he actually was a lot calmer than I had anticipated him being. I think we both were until we got to like the city. And I think that's when I know for me, the butterflies started kicking in.
That's what I was going to say. Was Jay a lot calmer than you, Sean?
He usually is anyways.
I was going to say, that's typically the case.
Yeah, I'm usually the one that gets pretty amped up. But, you know, we got there and we found some parking. You know, he was a little worked up about the parking and if he was going to have to pay, he was a little worried. And I said, but, you know, relax.
No, it's a pretty big race, isn't it? It's.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the numbers, but there had to be around.
I think they said 8,000. Like total for both the half and the full?
Was it? I would think actually more than that. I'll have to check that, but I'm not really sure. I know we talked about that as well, and I was like, I don't even know. What do I care? I'm running it.
So, I mean, was it easy to get parking and find your way to the start line?
I thought it was pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, we had to walk a little bit, but I mean, I even told him, like, that's actually a good thing. Yeah. So you can kind of walk it off afterwards instead of getting in a car and sitting down, you know, keep the legs move a little bit afterwards. But we got there. I think we maybe could have used an extra 10 minutes, maybe. But I mean, we weren't like rushing. The one thing was like, I was like, I got to take a leak before we get into line because I did not want to stop. You know, once the race started, I didn't want to stop for a while. And I knew that I was going to have to stop and you know, pee a lot because I knew with the day I was going to probably take in a lot more water than I normally would. And, but that went by pretty quick. You know, the lines moved pretty quickly. There was a lot of Port-a-Johns there. I do have to say, because I don't know how we'll fit this in. So my buddy Glenn, who is also my co-host on my other running podcast, The Negative Splits, our last episode, he talked about, and I didn't know this.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah, because I know this is a topic you were kind of pissed off about, to be honest. Yeah. He was in line to use the restroom and the Port-a-John and the race. I mean, it's almost race time. And he's like, I have to do this. And he's just about to go into one after waiting. And like, I don't know if it's the race director, some race officials, excuse me, sorry, sir, but she's got to use it. And it was it ended up being the winner of the women's elite runners for the marathon. And, you know, and he's like, what the heck? I paid for it. And you heard that story and you were really ticked off. I would be pissed off. You know what I mean? I look at it like this. If you have your elites, they have their, I don't know if they had their own hydration at this race, right? Like you would see like at Boston or LA, something like that on TV. But if you're going to do that, give them, then make sure you have their own Port-a-Johns. If they have preference to get in there first, don't bring them to where the public that paid is going.
Yeah, exactly.
Have something off to the side by the start finish. And that's only, you know, that's roped off and there's two of them there for the elites.
Yeah. I ranted quite a while on one of our Voxer chats about it. I mean, they're elites. They're, you know, they train all the time. They do fantastic work. That's great. I love following them, finding what they do. But you know what? I don't give a crap if an elite's running a race. That's not why I'm there to run the race, because an elite runner's there. So they're the same as me. So if I'm in line, get your ass in line too if they didn't make special accommodations for you. You know, that's just the way I look at it.
Right. And I agree. But I think they should have made a special accommodation somewhere for them. That was, I mean, come on, the race is about to start. He wants to run this thing. He paid his money. Yeah. So
I mean that's, to me, that's just always been the thing with the running community, that there really aren't supposed to be elites. You know, we're all runners and we enjoy running for a lot of the same reasons and different reasons, but we're one community. And to kind of say this runner is more important than you, her marathon's more important, is just, I'm not going to swear on the podcast, but it's BS.
Right. Well, I did want to bring that. I thought that was kind of humorous, and I knew you had a strong reaction after you listened to that episode.
I'll take my soapbox out now. And
yeah. So anyways, back to Jason and I. We lined up, I think we were somewhere after the 4-hour pacer. It was not where I wanted to be to start the race, but I mean, we kind of got there a little bit, not late, but we needed a little bit more time. So I didn't want to fight through. We actually kind of weaseled our way up a little bit, but.
So you didn't have assigned starting crowds?
Nope. Okay. No, they just have, they have like the flags on the side that have the pacer numbers, and then you just go over there and there's your pacer, whoever you want to grab for the either half marathon or marathon, because we start with the half marathoners as well.
Right.
We run the half marathon course as, you know, with them. So there's a lot of people, but, you know, we talked about there'll be some watch talk. This is where the first incident happened.
Oh, man.
They announced there was like 2 minutes until the start, and I said, okay, I got my GPS going on my watch, and I got a low battery warning, and it was at 100 when I left. So I must have said the F-bomb, I don't know, a lot. I mean, I could tell people were, I didn't care. I was so pissed off.
I was
freaking out.
Was it human error or a watch malfunction?
It was a charging malfunction. The charger I had it on was screwing it up. It would charge it up and then it would trickle it back down and charge up and trickle it down. So, because it's fine now. I hooked up the new charger. Everything's all good. But I hadn't been running. I was in that kind of screwed up taper. So I didn't really pay attention to it.
Oh.
My bad. And Jason was the, you know, cool, calm, and collected one who said, you want me to get your phone out? Because I had him put my phone in my hydration pack.
Right.
I'm like, yes.
No. At first you were like, no, we don't have enough time. I'm thinking, you're nuts. I'll just get your phone out, dude.
Yeah. And that put me in panic because I run by pace. I run by heart rate. And I'm thinking, holy shit, how am I going to get through 26 miles without knowing that, you know? So that was definitely a...
Well, I'm assuming you didn't have like a arm strap for your phone, so did you just put it in a pocket, or
I had my hydration, my Nathan pack on. I only had one bottle in the front, and then I had a my bladder in the back, so I had the other pocket in front was open, which I was going to use for my gels or just whatever, and I ended up putting my phone in there. I didn't want my phone out because a really good thing with the Buffalo Marathon staff was that they were very proactive because of this weather. I mean, this was a big deal. It almost seemed like when we get this huge snowstorm coming here in Buffalo, like the whole city gets all crazy. It was like that, where they actually ordered like 6,000 pounds of ice to come in. They got a lot more water stations after the 13 mile mark. So for the remainder of the marathon, they were supposed to have a water station every mile. And so they also, by social media, had asked the community, look, if you can, if the marathon's running through your neighborhood, get a sprinkler out, a hose, something to help, you know, cool these runners down. So I didn't want my phone out. I didn't want my everyday phone. So I had it in a Ziploc in my backpack. Mm. So at this point it was out. But anyways, that sucked. But I made do with it for 9 miles.
Were you able to look at it to catch your pace time, or did you put the audio cues on so it just yelled at
you?
No,
I didn't want any audio cues, and I left the phone in. I only got the phone out one time, but the watch actually, with 2% battery, the watch lasted me 9 miles.
So
for 9 miles, I was able to keep an eye on my heart rate. I really wasn't paying too much attention to pace because I didn't know when it would die. So I was trying to get into a pacer group just to take me in. But Jason was cool and calm. I mean, how were you once the gun went off? I mean, we were, that was it. We didn't speak till the end.
when the gun went off, I said, "Oh my God, this is it. I gotta go." I don't know. I tried to stay calm, but I'm like, "This is it. I'm forced into this. I gotta go. I gotta do it."
So how were you when you started going, did you tell yourself, look, don't get wrapped up with everybody around me. Don't just start going. Like, did you try to keep an eye on, cause your watch was working at this point.
Yes.
Were you looking at lap pace time and stuff?
I was watching, my watch and I was slowing down. And then I tried to keep an eye out for the pacers around me just to see how they were setting up, because I kind of had an idea of where I wanted to be at that point pace-wise.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, if I can start right off with the pace I want, then, we'll do that. But I ended up just really focusing on my watch after that point, and it worked out pretty well.
Was the heat getting to you right away, or were you okay for a little bit? Because I know I was okay for a while.
I was okay for quite a while. I think, the week leading up to this, I was hydrating pretty good and I had a system in mind that I was going to do for this, and it worked well. I think for, I'd say 80% of the race, I felt pretty damn good, regarding the heat.
And you had your hydration pack, right? You're like, I don't want to use the handheld.
Yeah, no, I had my hydration pack on, and honestly, I didn't use it too much. I might have took 5 sips out of it the whole time, but, and when I used it for those 5 sips, the water was warm.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait for the aid stations and actually have cold water.
Right.
So that's what I ended up doing. I did a water and a Gatorade at every aid station. So for the first half of the marathon, that was every 2 miles. And then for the second half of the marathon, that was every mile. And I did that religiously, and it worked fantastic.
So on your next marathon, are you going to go without hydration pack? Marathon.
Yes. I heard you. I heard you. I will do. I'm definitely going to do another one.
Oh, definitely. Cool.
I have thought about what I would do, and I don't know that I would do a hydration pack again.
Right.
Unless I could somehow maybe, depends on the outdoor temperature. I mean, if it's 90 and humid, that water is going to be warm in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
And that's not what you want when you're already hot.
Mine wasn't bad. I actually made 2 ice cube trays with, I use spring water because I hate the taste of like ice cubes that you make in the with tap water when they melt. So I always keep a couple jugs in the we have a spare fridge in the basement. So I had my bladder full of like filtered water, and then I use those ice cubes. So mine actually stayed cold. Not the whole time, but it definitely stayed cold for a while. I had a lot of ice in there, but it always does do that. Anything in the hose, you kind of have to purge out and suffer through that warm stuff until you can get it to kind of cool down. And I think also if you're saying you want to do another marathon, I think it all depends on what your goals are next year. I mean, we'll kind of talk about that in a little bit, but it's good that you utilize the aid stations. I mean, there was a lot of them, and they had water, Gatorade, cups of ice, and like a cold washcloth, wet washcloth. I don't know if they had them on for the first 13, because I didn't hit any aid stations till after.
Yeah, I didn't hit the washcloth until after that. Yeah. So I don't think they had them the first half.
I think I got my first one maybe around mile 16 or 17, something like that, is where I started.
Sean, that's the reason I for a road marathon, I'll usually wear my belt, and I take fluid with me, because that if you're running with the half marathon, if it's just a lot of people, I don't want to stop at aid stations till things thin out a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Man, and then start walking and just throwing stuff right in front of you.
Actually, you know what? I take that back. That's not true. I did stop at one to fill up my my bottle, and my front bottle, which is a 22-ounce handheld from Nathan. It fits in my hydration pack in the front. I actually had it filled up. I was going through water quick.
Oh, I bet.
I think for the first You know, I thought it was an hour, but probably the first half hour I was okay, but I was taking in water. Yeah. You know, I was very liberal with it, just like, okay, boom, boom, boom. And I started going, oh, crap, man. Because I don't want to hit the aid stations.
Right.
Till later, if that. I was planning on having enough for myself, but it ended up being the weather. I had no choice.
Well, the other thing, this was like an out of the blue hot day too, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, this was not a normal thing for this time
wasn't
of
like
year here.
You weren't acclimated to hot weather yet. It was,
no.
You know, early spring temperatures and then bam, summer.
Yeah, I mean, we're running 30, 40, maybe 50 degree weather. You know, this is August weather.
Yeah.
You know,
and it probably would have been different had it been August when you'd had a couple months to acclimate a little bit. And
absolutely. You know. Yeah. I mean, it was warm that week. But really, I mean, how do you get yourself used to that? It was really bad. I mean, it's not just us being crybabies or my buddies, you know, everybody that ran this thing, we're all just like,
yeah.
The weather sucked. It definitely took your A game and just squashed it. You know, I knew shortly in that what I wanted to do probably wasn't going to happen. But Jason, as far as, you know, with you, did you, I know you kind of, like you said, you were going into this as it was just another long run. So as far as like time goals and stuff like that, you weren't stressing about that at all. But was there like at any point where you started to maybe get those marathon mental games kicking in?
Oh man, that's several points, man. I don't even know where to begin with that. The first half of it was fine because I'm used to doing that distance. Half marathon distance. Pretty confident about. So then after that, you know, I started wanting to see, I wanted to see my family. You know, we had plans of meeting up with them like halfway or so. So after 13, I'm looking for them for like a boost of confidence, like, hey, how's it going? And every mile marker I'm looking, I'm like, nope, 14 goes by. Nope, nobody. 15 goes by. Nope. 16 goes by. I'm like, I'm kind of heartbroken here. I'm like, where's my support staff here? You know,
right?
What's going on? I could use a quick hug here or something, or you know, my name being shouted, just something. So that kind of got me down for a little bit. That's actually the point where I was coming up to Delaware Park, and the live band I saw was between songs, and they started playing the Rocky theme. So I'm approaching them and they're playing Rocky. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great.
So that was a nice boost for you, huh?
You're looking for some old gray
boost.
Sweats to put on to
start throwing some punches as I'm running, you know?
I know what you mean about, because I was looking for them too, but I didn't think they'd be there by the half. Just talking with them and getting all the logistics and the times and pickups. And I was like, I'm not going to probably see them, but I know like around mile, around 20 mile, 23, 24 is where I think I saw him last year, and I wanted to see him again this year. But I was lucky because, Friday night, I'm just, you know, doing normal. I think I was bringing up a laundry basket from the basement. It's like 7 o'clock and everyone's upstairs. And I hear my wife going, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you doing here? And I look, and in coming through the front door is my brother, my sister-in-law, and my niece came up from North Carolina to totally just surprise me. Like, they were here because I was running the marathon.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, because my brother and I are really, really close, and he's like a fitness fanatic and everything. And he does a lot of the Spartan races. So he's always training and stuff like that. So we'll talk like maybe every other week, you know, for a while and catch each other up on everything. And I had mentioned a few times, like, hey, you know, when you come up and see me run the marathon, and, you know, hoping he'd be like, all right. But he's just like, dude, I can't, I would love to see it, but I can't. And he had been planning this for months. Oh. So, they came in and I just was staring at him. Like, I was about to get emotional just seeing that. It just, totally blew me away. I was not expecting them. They didn't let anybody know really, except for my father. Like my wife didn't even know.
Oh wow.
So yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then they actually, my brother and sister and niece, sister-in-law and niece actually came to the start, which that even blew me away. I was like, holy crap. I just thought you'd come down on Sunday to the finish. They're like, nope, we're going to the start. So as soon as we went over the finish or the starting line, like they're screaming. He texted me and I had my phone out because my watch was screwed up. And he told me, oh, we're up just past the starting line on the right. So I saw him and they cheered. And the way the course is set up for the half marathon, you start downtown, you run out and you're still within downtown area pretty much, and then you come back in. And so I saw them a few different times at different points. Once we started leaving after we split from the half marathoners, I saw them then because that was in the city, and then I didn't see them until the end again. So I, like Jason, you know, from mile 14 to mile 26, I was looking for a face. You know, I wanted that little boost because it means so much to see somebody because you're struggling. You're battling those demons that you go through or can go through in a marathon when stuff starts to hit the fan.
Mm. Now, Jay, you had some watch issues too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but it was mile, I think 24, my watch died and I'm a religious watcher. You know what I mean? I probably watch it too much as I'm running. It's kind of annoying. So, you know, I'm watching my pace, and then the thing just goes blank. And I said, oh, great. You know, not only am I pissed that I can't see my pace, but I wanted it to record the distance so I can catalog that and, you know, compare it to future runs. But nope, gone. And my phone died actually at the same time. So I had nothing.
You guys were cursed.
But my phone died because of the heat and it was wet from running through all the sprinklers that I ran through.
Oh, is your phone fried or?
No, it fired right up after I charged it, but.
Huh.
Darn, you almost got a new phone.
I know. I said to myself as I was running, I'm like, well, if I have to buy a new phone after this, I'll buy a new phone.
You know, you know, last year when I did my recap, when I ran it, one of the things that really stood out to me was the fact that when, you know, you are running with the half marathoners, so it's a big race. You're with a lot of people for a lot of time. And once you come up back into the city and you're going towards the convention center where the finish line is, the half marathoners go up straight, you turn right, and then you make a left on another street and it's totally different. And how did that affect you? Did that kind of screw you up, Jason? Because it tends to get kind of, you know, people are not all around you now.
That was probably my only complaint about the whole race was that part, because, you know, the first part of the race, you're in downtown with all the half marathoners. There's a lot of support, a lot of bands, a lot of things going on. And then you get to that turn. You know, they finish, you keep going, and then they put you on one of the worst streets in Buffalo, and there's nobody or nothing around. So I'm like, really? This is where they're going to send us? And it was awful. I'm like, I got to do the next half of the marathon after this?
Well, I know after we split off and we were going up, and I think we might have been on the backside of the convention center, I actually rolled my ankle in a small little pothole, which freaked me out. Cause you know, you do that when you're running and you don't necessarily feel the pain of something for a little bit. So I was like, oh crap. But it ended up being okay. And then at that point I was like, okay, I need more water. All I have is my bladder. I don't see any stations. I can't wait another mile. And I saw my brother and I was just like, he's like, you know, he's like, hey, how you doing? He started running with me a little bit. And I said, water. I need water. I need you to find me water. And I know how my brother is. If I need something, I ask him, he'll get it done. So he goes, okay. And luckily enough, there was actually a woman standing there and said, did he say he needed water? And he said, yep. And she's like, here you go. And he comes running back 2 seconds later. He's like, here you go. You got water. And he filled up my handheld for me. And that was great. But that was probably when I started, because again, now my watch died at 9 miles. So this is around mile 13 and a half or so, 14. So I'm 4 miles into just running by feel. Which my feel is off because it's hot and it's humid. You know what I mean? So now I'm like, oh crap. And when I looked back at my splits to what my watch had said for the 9 miles, I was more or less at my goal marathon pace for the end of the marathon, which I was hoping to work up to, which was around probably 8 minutes a mile or so. I should have been around an 8:25 at this point. So not too far off, but I mean, you take 15, 20 seconds off in that heat.
It's a lot.
It adds up, you know? So, yeah, I was definitely starting to feel it was leading up to that point that you were asking what happened here.
Okay. But it just wasn't you. It was everybody tracking. That's why I really wanted to ask that question, what was going on there.
Yeah, well, and I think that was near probably Delaware Park, where, like I said, you have that kind of slow, gradual incline. That, you know, someone to you may be like, it's nothing, but for us...
Yeah, but then you put the heat on top of it.
Yeah, it definitely hits you. And, you know, for me, I started mentally getting upset because I was like, you know, goal's gone. You know, goal is gone. And I ended up actually, I think around mile 15. So I had 6 miles at this point, 6 miles without a watch, without any kind of pace. I'm not in a pace group, which I had actually caught up and passed the 3:40 pacer. And I did it on purpose because I didn't know when the watch was going to die. And I thought if I can get ahead of that 3:40 pacer, I'm good. I'm in good shape, you know? And, they ended up passing me at some point. I don't know if it was one of the Port-a-Johns I went into or what, but at about mile 15, I saw a very, very familiar person, and I was both happy, but I was also upset because I shouldn't be seeing this person, and that was my buddy Bill. You know, Bill should have been running like a 325
or so. That's what I was going to say. He was looking for like 320 or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So to come up on him was kind of a double-edged. You know, I was happy.
Either I'm running too fast or he's running too slow.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't running too fast. I knew I wasn't running that fast to catch up to him at all because I had seen him earlier at about mile 10 or 11, I think, and I wasn't that far off, which made me excited at that point because I felt awesome at that point. But, so yeah, I caught up with him and he was at that point, the weather and stuff had taken a toll on him and he was having some cramping issues and he's open about it. You know, we talked about it. He has some stomach issues and stuff like that. So I was glad to see him, but yet I thought, shit, you know, there goes his, A goal. So that's one of us that at this point I was like, isn't getting their A goal, but, it helped him, you know, and I even said like, look, man, I want to stick with you for a while if I can, cause I want to know what I'm pacing at. And he has his watch and, he's like, yeah, by all means. So I caught up with him at that point and we ran pretty much the entire race together.
Oh, that's cool. Cause I could tell on the live track, it gives you the little bubbles, you know, that has initials by it. And I could see where you two are running together. And I was even thinking that time cause I saw the weather and I'm like, I think those two are helping each other get through this.
Oh yeah. We helped each other big time. It would have been a completely different outcome for him and I, if I wouldn't have caught up with him for sure. Yeah, it would have been totally different. He was in a bad spot at that point. Tables kind of turned. About probably like 6 miles later is when I started to kind of, oh shit, yeah. I'm breaking down. I mean, I was getting hot. We started stopping at water stations and walking through them, grabbing every cold washcloth I could. I mean, it was just unbearable. And that's when our pacing started to slow a little bit, dip a little bit. I think he picked up at that point. I mean, he was really off pace at that point. So he was happy to, you know, that I was there to help pick him up in spirits, I think, and in pace. But we definitely took a dive later on. But Jay, was there a point, Because I'll be honest, I didn't really dig too far into your splits. I think more because you and I had conversed about it a lot and agreed that, you know, it's probably your best option to just go into it with that long run attitude. Yeah. So there was no time goal or anything, but was there a point where you physically started breaking down?
Yeah, I did. I'd say probably between maybe 16 or 18 or so, I started to really feel the fact that the distance that I had run and the heat was really starting to get to me at that point. So that's when I started to walk through the aid stations, you know, and so I looked at it like, okay, I'm going to walk for 30 to 50 feet, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that helps a lot, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would get to the aid station. I'd grab the water and the Gatorade and I would speed walk, you know, until I finished those two things. And then that was about 50 feet. And then I would start, you know, running again. I would run the next mile, do the same thing at the aid station. So that helped me maintain what physical strength I had left. But, you know, I did get some pretty good quad spasms that I had to walk off a few times. I thought probably three different times that I was going to eat.
That's your new superhero name.
Oh, man.
Quad spasm.
Quad spasm. Oh, God. I thought I was going to eat pavement quite a few times.
Now, were you running alone the whole time, or did you find someone to kind of run with, or?
No, I was alone the whole time, which was fine. I kind of get in the zone that way, you know?
Yeah, I'm the same way most of the time.
I don't want some, you know, inane banter next to me going on about nothing. You know, so leave me alone. I'm going to run.
So let me ask you, Jay, what's the biggest lesson you took away from this marathon?
The biggest lesson, I would say it all comes down to your training, man. You know, I know what I would do differently next time. I know what I did this time and I'm happy with what I did, but I know what I could do if I trained differently. You know, I tried to train. I took a 16-week program in exactly 16 weeks and I personally can't do that because there's no flexibility in it.
Mm.
You know, you have target runs that you have to hit and you have to hit them. There's no, you don't feel like running that day. Don't run that day. No, you have to. And that hurt me because there's some critical runs that I missed because of either personal things going on or just not feeling up to that day. And, you know, in the future, I would build some flexibility in whatever program I decide to train with, you know?
Right.
So, all right. So this is where I get to jump in. Jay's already going, ah, crap.
Wait, my mic is going out now. I think,
yeah.
Wait, what's that? What?
By can't hear you.
By
it's getting spotty.
By more flexibility, are you talking on, again, that base mileage that I harped on you a lot about, or just the long runs in general, or?
You know,
because I did give you, I got on you past, you know, couple episodes and, yes. You know, and I always said it was only because I wanted you to do well and everything. But you didn't have a ton of miles trained in going into this.
I did not. And I that's kind of my own doing because, you know, back in the beginning, I said I kind of wanted to do this myself and see for myself what I could do, what would work. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, now that I've done it, I realize, yes, you know, obviously increasing your base mileage is going to help. I did hit most of my long runs, which obviously helped in a different way. And I mean, that's my training's even helped my short running, which is my pace is slowly increasing. My times are coming down, which is awesome all around. But
I mean, to be honest, like I wouldn't even have brought that up because I think that you had, take away the weather elements that we all were dealing with, I feel like you had a pretty damn good experience for your first marathon. I mean, you were very happy at the end and all that.
I had an absolute, even including the weather, man, I had an absolute blast. I never would have thought that I would come out with that reaction, but okay, well, I had fun.
Well, I'm going to be honest here. Okay. After I saw Sean went through the finish line, I voxed him, and I wasn't, you know, expecting to hear right back from him, but we usually get back pretty soon after races. And I think it was, I don't know, a couple hours later, I finally get this vox, and I can just hear he's miserable. It wasn't a good day for him. And I'm like, oh man, if he was that bad, Jay's going to be dead, you know, because even I was going, man, he didn't get enough base in. This is going to kill him. And then I think I saw your Strava. You said something like, it was great. I loved it. I mean, it was hard, but it was great. And I was like, whoa, all right, go.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have never predicted that reaction, but I did. I had fun. I mean, just seeing the different sites in Buffalo as you're running it. And I felt happy and proud to be running in my city, and it was a good experience.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. And I haven't talked to him about the marathon all really that much since. And I didn't voice this before really, although this was where this was all stemming from when I did get on him about his training. And I'm glad he had a great time. I really am. I was scared for him. I was
there with you.
Legitimately scared for you. I even had doubts at time that you were gonna, you know, because you're training, and that's the only reason I brought it up. I mean, it's because you said, you know, about altering, because I'm gonna get on you next time. If there's another one, you know, I'm gonna get on you, because you had a good experience this time. Just think of how much even better of experience your next one, because then you're probably going to get into the time goals. You know, you had the time goals early on, then you kind of backed off because you knew you didn't put a ton of, you know, training time into it. So you even said to me, like, I need to just kind of go at this without my time goals that I had set originally before you even started the cycle. So, but yeah, I was nervous.
I was too. I'll admit I was too.
But I am so happy that it turned out the way it did for you. Like, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad that you came out of this going, dude, yeah, it was hot. It sucked, but I'm going to do another one. So, I mean, that's awesome. Really good.
Because, Jay, you even posted to Facebook during the race, didn't you? Or was it maybe just a delay? I could have swore I saw a post.
About 20 times.
And I'm like, okay, he's either having a great time or he's hating it right now, because it wasn't real specific. It wasn't like
it was weather updates, wasn't it?
Those were butt posts.
Oh, were they? Yeah, because it wasn't like this day sucks or I'm having a blast. Just like, okay.
You know? No, that was when my phone was on the fritz. I actually, since it was wet, like, it wouldn't react when I was touching the screen.
Uh-huh.
So I'm running, I'm trying to turn the screen off, and it kept beeping at me and everything. So I just slipped it back in my pocket. And as I'm running for miles, I could hear my phone just beeping on itself. So it was, that's when it was posting weather updates as to where I was, you know?
So if you're friends with Jason on Facebook, there's no doubt what the weather was like on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, May 29th. Jay, it was 80 degrees 2 minutes ago. You don't need to tell me again.
We get it. It's hot.
All of my wife's family is commenting, oh, great to see the weather is good. You know, they're all asking, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, it's not me.
Yeah, that's funny. But
good thing you didn't have any porn on there.
Oh, man. That's a different phone.
That's a different phone. Well, what about you, Mr. Sean? What's your big lesson from this marathon?
My big lesson is you can train all you want, as hard as you want, and go in as prepared as you can be, but there's just certain things that are just out of your control. That is a watch charger and Mother Nature. They kick my ass between the two of them, man, because... It was rough. I mean, even with the heat, I was still going after my goal. I was not I would not accept that morning to alter my expectations of my race goals. I felt I worked so goddamn hard, put so many miles in, got up early every day before work, that I was not going to let some heat and humidity take that away. And it did, it didn't matter what I was going to let happen. It happened anyways. But you know, like I said, when I caught up to Bill and helped him out, and it switched out around mile 23, I started really breaking down physically. Physically, I was breaking down, and I was taking in hydration. I was taking in nutrition. I was taking in salt. It just was killing me. Not killing me, but it was just really taking a toll on my body, on my legs.
Well, now you had a little injury before the marathon too. You're having some hamstring issues.
Yeah, I was having hamstring issues, and I got to tell you, everything in my body hurt except for that. It was amazing.
Cure your finger by breaking your toe type.
Yeah, it was baffling, and by mile 23 or so, I was just physically kind of breaking down, and then I had a point where I was just like mentally breaking down, and Bill had to give me some encouraging words, and really we fought as a team to just get through that freaking marathon. It was not what I had envisioned happening, you know, and you go through that. I mean, I know I do. I did last year where I had all these visions of how things were going to play out and this and that. And you can't do that. That's another lesson, I guess. You can't play out that race ahead of time. You just got to prepare for it and hope that all the stars aligned, because you know, you can't control the weather and shit like that. But I mean, I was very upset by it. It took me till like Tuesday afternoon to really kind of accept what my goal going into this. I had always said my goal was a 3:45 marathon. Right. You guys, like you, Steven and Glenn and Bill, would be like, oh, you could get a 3:30. You can get 3:30. And I'd be like, I don't say that. I don't like numbers thrown at me because I feel pressure. But I really felt that I could get a 3:40 at least, maybe even a 3:35, maybe if the weather would have been nice. So, you know, I came in at 3:53 chip time.
So you still have a massive PR.
Massive PR. I mean, almost a half hour. So, but I was upset. I was very upset. I was, you know, I was ticked off. I was, I guess, slightly kind of depressed about it. And I know it sounds stupid to anybody who doesn't run or run a marathon or whatever, but those that have, they understand, I think. But it took me a couple of days until where I could go, you know what? I ran a damn good race. I got a real good time for what was thrown at me. I need to be happy with that and go, hey, I got a huge PR, you know?
Oh yeah.
So it took me a couple of days, but, I'm happy with it now. I mean, the outcome of it.
Because I think we could go back in the archives where you said, I want to do a 3:45, but even a 3:55, I would be super happy with.
Yeah. and that was me trying to let myself down easy ahead of time.
Okay. I do that too sometimes.
Because I told you, I passed the 3:40 pacer, and I never saw the 3:40 pacer pass me. I wish I could check to see if they came in on time, because I'm pretty sure the 4-hour pacer came in about 15, 20 minutes late.
That's what I was going to ask.
So I don't know when they came in. So I'm still thinking, like, I'm going to hit a 3:45. So when I rounded that corner and I gave it all I had, and I saw chip time was 3:53. I think my finish line was like 3:55 something. I was already let down at that point. Like it already hit me like emotionally, like really.
I completely understand, but still a hell of a PR a good PR just all around, but then add the heat on top of it.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate that, and I am happy with it now. I'm just saying how I felt that day and the next 2 days, and you know, I went to
work. I can tell by our messages back and forth. I'm like, oh man, this one was hard on him.
Yeah, I really didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
I didn't.
I figured you didn't, because you know, usually you can't get Sean to shut up. But
yeah. That's true.
I think that's me, maybe. All right, Mr. Jason. What was the final time?
Final time was, I think, 5:32.
All right. Hey, PR for you, too.
Definitely a PR. I'll take it.
And so, yeah, good job, man. Just, again, under the conditions, can't beat.
And next one, we're going to get Jason training. He's going to go sub 5.
Four. He'll go sub 4 the next one.
Sub 4?
That'd be
sub
a hell four. Of a freaking change, huh? That'd be a sub 4?
Well, actually, you have to beat the Oprah line, don't you? I think she did 4:20-something.
What?
Yeah, that's like the unofficial gauge of a good marathon.
What a way to kick a guy in the nuts, Oprah Steven. Standard. Jesus.
Well, is that when she was thin?
Yeah, that's when she was thin. It was 420, 430, something like that, but they actually call it the Oprah standard.
Shit.
Never heard of that one.
But she probably got to use the bathroom when she wanted to, so.
yeah, right. She had her own bottles out on tables. Yeah.
So Jay, advice for anyone thinking about doing their first marathon?
My advice would be to embrace it and put the work in for training. You know, that if you want a good time, train for it. It's simple as that, man.
All right. That's good. Mr. Sean, your advice?
On your first one?
Yeah.
Same thing, man. You get what you put into it and do the training and enjoy it. You know, try to...
Yeah.
I think I overtrained a bit, I was very, very focused and goal driven. And I think you can be, just as over focused as you can be maybe a lack of focus at times. You know, you got to try and find that happy medium of what, try and set a goal. If your goal is to just finish, okay. You still got to do the work, but if you have a time goal, maybe try to go in with an A, B, and C game.
I concur with both you, and as always, I have my, if it's not going to happen that day, just don't worry about it and have fun attitude.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a great attitude. I just can't, I can't get with that attitude. I have a hard, I'm not saying it's a wrong attitude, but
no,
I wish I could.
You have to have whatever attitude works for you.
Exactly. I wish I could have had a little more of that attitude on May 29th, but I didn't.
Oh, boy.
Well, so Jason, you said you'll definitely probably do another one. I know we discussed a local one. It's not happening this year. So, there's a few
other local one this year. What's another local one?
Are you talking the Falls one?
Yeah, the one that goes over into Canada.
Yeah, I have. You can do that one yourself.
I looked at that one. It's actually a bad date. I think it's the day before Halloween.
Is it really?
I think so. I think it's the 30th.
I didn't think it was in October, but maybe it is.
Yeah, I think so.
I could have sworn it was in the summer, to be honest, but maybe not. All right. Yeah, I don't have any interest in that one anyways. But there is Rochester. There's a Syracuse, I think, in August. There's the Wine Glass. But I'm not chasing that marathon goal this year. I would have ran the Heroes Run, which I did last year. Unfortunately, it's not happening. I think Jason would have really enjoyed that because it is our stomping grounds. It is our training route. But again, it's not happening this year. So that's it for marathons for me till next Buffalo, I guess.
Yeah, but you got a big run coming up.
Yeah, that's the new focus now, Bristol Mountain Challenge, my first ultra.
That's end of July?
July 30th, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. You know, I'm not going to get worked up like I did for Buffalo. Just because there is no time goal for this other than
the distance.
What the hell is 50K? 31 miles, I think.
It's 31 miles.
31 miles. So, at a ski resort. So,
now, how are you going? I wanted to ask you too, since you're a flatlander. How are you training or going to train for the elevation?
I'm not. No, I'll probably do. I'm being honest. I'm probably going to do elevation on my treadmill at times, but and maybe, you know, maybe I can get to Allegheny, which is where Jason and I went last year. Did and there's mountains there, and you know, there's a couple places, but everything that's around here, it's all stuff you have to drive to, and I don't have time for that. So any elevation training I want to do, I'm either gonna have to do on my treadmill. Mm-hmm. Or the Grand Island Bridge, which is not too far from here. I'll have to do that. I'm kind of sketchy on that because I'm afraid of heights, and that's different than going up a mountain. It's like looking right over. But I actually shot some video yesterday and put a video together, which has some of that in it. I think I might be putting that up on the YouTube channel. So you'll see what that is if I put it up, if I can get over my shyness. But, so, well, Jason, do you have anything else coming up, or you're done for now until whatever?
Yeah, I'm done for now, except for maybe some 5Ks peppered throughout. I mean, I would like to do some trail stuff in the next couple of months, but I can't really find a lot out there.
Well, that's close. That's the problem for us. You know, we're in the burbs here, so there's not really. I mean, you did find something out towards Lewiston or something that maybe you and I can hit up out there. And we are going camping with our families in 2 weekends, but I don't foresee any trail running going on while we're with the family. At least not you and I. I'll be out running because, you know me, I'll be up early. I'll probably still be running on the roads there. I'm doing a corporate challenge too, I think, at the end of this month.
You are?
Yeah, sure. I just signed up for it with my work because I really want to kick all the asses of everyone I work with. That's really my only reasons for doing it.
It's petty, but it's cool.
It is very petty. I'm a union guy. I work in a union shop, and I think majority of the runners, probably 90% of them, are all salary. So I kind of have a duty to uphold. So
spank them. Yeah. Nice.
And I am the runner at work. So it is a lot of weight on my shoulders too. I better have a good race. But, Steven, we've talked about, you've mentioned before, you have the Moab race, which you know, are you training for that yet? Or are you getting ready?
August. I'll start official training in August. I might actually do like maybe a 5K training plan just to get a little speed back because I slowed down so much from training for that 50. So I might do that, but Moab starts in August. I was going to do the War Eagle 50K last weekend, but the Monday after our podcast we recorded, I went to register. This run is never sold out. It was sold out, so I didn't get to do that.
So you're saying maybe there's a chance that we could have had something to do with that?
I think our millions of listeners flocked from all over the world to register for that race.
I like that. That's what I'm going to go with.
Hey, I'll believe it too.
But okay, so this week you and I had a conversation. Maybe it was late last week we had a conversation. Yeah. You are going to be signing up for a really, really big race.
Yes, I cannot register yet because they haven't run this year's race yet, but I put it out there on social media so I committed for myself. I'm going to do my first 100-miler in November 2017 at the Tunnel Hill Ultra.
Which is that's a pretty well-known race.
Yeah, it's in Illinois. It's another flat rails to trails, and I picked that one because I am so blind at night. I haven't figured out a way to run technical trails in the dark yet. A headlamp doesn't cut it for me. So I'm like, if I'm gonna do 100, it's gonna have to be something like this.
Right.
So it's fairly close to me. It's like 3.5 hours away. So I can register in December. So as long as they don't cancel the race, I'm doing it.
So
very cool.
When is Moab this year?
Moab's in November, November 5th.
All right. Because I was going to say, why not try it this year? But I guess that's why.
I don't have time to train for that. And I honestly don't want to train for that kind of race right now.
Right.
You know, Moab, I don't want to say it's not just the marathon because you're putting all the vertical in it, but I kind of know how I need to train where the 100, when it's time to start for that, my oldest son will already be in college. I'll have a little more free time here. So I think I can train for it.
How old will your youngest be at that point?
He will be 17.
All right.
So we should be good. So I'm just going to do it. So I said I committed to it. So unless they cancel the damn race, I'm doing that one.
That's exciting. And I'm looking forward to it because I'll be taking a road trip.
Yeah, myself. I asked Sean and Jay, you come out too. Come out and crew and pace.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And I got the okay for that to come out and do that.
Now, so. Here's what I think Sean should do. I think he should run they have a 50-mile option. I think he should run the 50-mile option, and then he can finish because it's like out and back four times for the 100. So he could do the 50. He'd still have like 4 hours to rest up. And that could pace me for the last 25 miles.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any pacing going on at that point.
Or just crew me, I think. I was kind of reading, and they're like, pacers are nice there, but they're not a necessity because it's flat and straight. So,
yeah, but I think there's more to it than just that.
I think at that point, you need someone
to need some mental,
keep you awake, make sure you're drinking and, you know.
And staying on your target pace.
Yeah. Well, my target pace is going to be the finish.
Yeah. Well, we have a year to figure, well, more than a year and a half to figure out how that's going to go, but I'm excited.
The record on that 100 is like 12 hours and 41 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the fastest 100 in the world or something. I'm like, that's moving.
You know? Yeah, it is. But what's the record at like a Western States? Isn't that like 16 or something, or is it less?
Yeah, I think it is like maybe just shy of 17. It's just under 17, I think. I know finishing under 24 is considered really good.
Right. Yeah, but I'm just saying like the elite. I don't even know offhand. Is it Olsen that has the record for that, or no? Maybe not.
I don't know. That I don't know.
Huh. But, wow.
12 hours is still fast running 100, even if it's flat.
100 miles. You're freaking nuts, dude.
Olsen, 14 hours and 46 minutes.
At Western?
Yep.
Wow.
14:46, but 2012.
Yeah. Oh, well, we didn't know how to tell time then. So. Wow. Well, I didn't know it was that. Wow.
That's pretty crazy. Okay.
So stay tuned for my 100 training adventure. I'll kind of start officially training in probably mid-January or February 2017.
That is a long cycle.
Well, that's going to be official, unofficial, or officially unofficial. Either way, you know.
Are you going to use a Sage Kennedy program for that?
I might. You know, this it's really stupid logic of me. I don't know if I trust, and the training plans I've looked at, they're not much different than the 50 miler, to be honest, as far as mileage and stuff.
Right. But
I don't know. Part of me has a hard time buying in, and I know he's doing Western States this year, so this could change. He hasn't run 100 miles, you know, and to me it's like, okay, if someone hasn't done that distance before,
How do they tell you to prepare for it?
How can you relate to me? I mean, yeah, you can tell me the math and the science says this, 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 and this, but I don't know if I don't know if I'm making sense there.
I get it. And honestly, I don't think the math and science is everything anyways when it comes to a training plan.
No, it's not. You know, that's why I said you almost want someone that has been there and can be like, you need to focus on this because chances are this is going to happen to you later, you know.
Well, and what, a couple weeks, he'll have ran Western States, right?
Yeah.
Because Western States coming up real soon, so you can see.
But I was really happy with this 50-mile or so. Yeah, I'll probably use this 100-mile plan.
Right. Unless completely bonks at like mile 75.
Then you're like, those people that drop at mile 98, you're like, what?
Let me go see if Timothy Olsen has a plan.
Well, yeah.
I know he can do 100. Sub 15.
So I'll keep everyone updated on that, but still got a while. I'll be focusing on Moab here shortly. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm telling everyone right now, there will not be a PR. You have 6 hours to do it, and I plan on taking 5 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds to finish it because it just looks gorgeous out there, and I want to enjoy every single minute.
Yeah, it's a little different than going to your local marathon.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's a racecation.
Yeah. So actually, if I finish it in like 4 hours, I'm going to be mad I finished it too quick. But that's all I have for right now.
All right. Well, that's, I think, all I have, Jay.
Yep. That's all I got.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this month's episode and our conclusion to Jason's first marathon. Oh,
he's the marathon man now.
Yeah, he let me know that yesterday. He just sent me like a 5-second message that I found quite amusing.
Hey, Jay, one last question. Is there anyone you have not told you finished a marathon?
No, I think I pretty much covered everybody.
I know, after my first one, I told everybody, yeah, I just ran a marathon.
I'll bring it up in conversation. That doesn't even make sense.
Guy at work.
Can I take your order, sir? Yeah. You
know? Hey, I ran a marathon last week.
Yeah, you can take my order. I'm kind of hungry because a week ago. Well, that's cool. You should be happy with that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to your next one.
Dang, right.
Can't wait.
Yeah, me neither.
We're going to push Jay hard.
I can wait.
Anyways, all right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode. As usual, if you want to get a hold of us, you can send us an email at theaveragerunnerpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Strava. We're on Strava. We have the Strava Club over there, which just kind of racks up miles and ranking systems. It's just a fun little thing you can do. We have the YouTube channel, which Stephen put some stuff on there. I may have something go up. I don't know yet, though. We'll see what happens.
Sean sent me the video, so it's going up either way.
No, you're not going to do that to me. And iTunes, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a rating. That just helps us move up in the search results for any running podcast. As far as I go, you can also check me out on the Negative Splits podcast. We also did a recap of the Buffalo Marathon and our experience, a little bit more of my story there, because it did involve my co-host Bill, obviously. Get a little bit more into some of the struggles that we were going through at that mile 15 to 26.2. We kind of cover that a little bit, and as well as Glenn's story. He had a kind of a rough race himself, but anyways, that's gonna wrap this up. So till next time, thanks for listening.
Take care, everyone.